Amen. 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 I came to Shiloh to preach, so I don't want to come here and say, man, that we brought that chaplain from Fort Huachuca and he wasn't obedient. But I love to be obedient in the Holy Ghost. I love that. That's like Toys R Us. Many of y'all remember Toys R Us? When I'm in the toy store with my son and everything else, sometimes I buy more toys than he buys. And when you go to a spirit-filled church and they allow the gifts of the Spirit to move, that's a toy store. That's a toy store. That's a toy store. And I'm excited. Shiloh has a special place in my heart, and because there's freedom here. Amen. If you have your word, I'm just going to be before you quick, and just pray for releasing, because I believe God's going to do more after the releasing of the word, as long as Pastor Joseph and Pastor Eric allow me to. But I believe there's going to be more, and after that. And so, but I just want to release this word. It's a prophetic word to the church. Like I said, I'm not sent here on orders for an assignment to preach under the auspices of an army chaplain, but I'm sent under my gifting to strengthen this church and move it to the place where God wants it. And so, and that's my prophetic gift. So I'm not Chaplain Seaborn right now. So don't say, that's my Monday through Friday, but when Pastor Eric told me to come preach, I labored and labored and said, God, what should I preach? And I believe this word is for Shiloh. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Mark 4. Mark 4. Pastor Joseph, Pastor Atticus, Pastor Eric, and all the other pastors, I appreciate you all, the lovely staff, the deacons, and all the ushers. I appreciate you allowing me to come and be with you all and fellowship with you all. Again, Pastor Eric introduced me. I'm Javon Seaborn, and I'm the 213th chaplain, and I'm just here to, like the UPS man, to drop a package off to you all. And I'm reading out of the Mark 4:35, reading out of the New King James. I know Pastor Eric asked me, what do you preach out of? I have two Bibles that are my favorite Bibles, NIV Bible and my New King James. And sometimes I just grab one, and sometimes I don't look at the versions. But if it reads different, don't worry about it. You'll be able to understand it. But I'm reading out of the New King James, Mark 4, starting at verse 35. If you have the word, say amen. That's what I'm talking about. Woo! On the same day when evening had came, he said to them, let us cross to the other side. When he had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, sleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Verse 40 and 41, but he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and sea obey him? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word, but not only the word. I thank you, Father, for a manifestation of your spirit and power in this moment. We don't need another word, but we need anointing and Holy Ghost. Show up, Father, and move the people and even move me, Father, about what you're getting ready to say. I rebuke the enemy on every hand in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This thing called life is very funny, and the way we deal with life will determine how long we live. I remember my grandmother, and all of us got this older grandmother. Didn't have a lot of money, but had a lot of faith. And every time I would go to her house in Virginia, I was exposed to 6 hours of prayer and 1 hour of television. And so here it was, I hated going to her house. I said, "That every summer, it's the same routine. She'll get in her lazy boy couch, and she had one of those big coffee table Bibles that nobody could touch but her. And then she used to turn on the television, TBN, Pat Robinson, Oral Roberts, everything else. And then she was just, ooh, shit by. She started praying in tongues. I said, "Here we go again." And I'm sitting there, and this is, I'm showing my age, but I'm sitting there watching Looney Tunes and Dukes of Hazzard, Gilligan's Island, and everything else. And she said, "Turn the TV off. We got to pray." And the prayer wasn't 1 hour, wasn't 2 hours, 3 hours. It was 6 hours. My grandmother carried the block. Everybody came to this house on 35th Street for prayer. And I'm sitting there like, oh, my God. I said, "God, don't you know we're hungry and we're still praying? Don't you know we got to eat?" But this one particular summer I went, my grandfather had passed away. And it was different. And I was coming in age. I was a teenager. And I was just watching how she handled her life after my grandfather passed. Now, my grandmother was the more spiritual one. Grandfather Turner, he'll put a cigar in his mouth and put some liquor in his cup and everything else. But grandmother Turner wouldn't do none of that. She praying in tongues. And so after he died, I was there in the house, and I overheard my aunt was saying that, you know, grandfather didn't leave a lot of money. And so, you know, as soon as I get there, I'm getting off the plane. I'm flying in from Miami to Virginia, and I go to immediately, just like a teenage boy, I'm going to the refrigerator. What we got to eat? Where the snacks at? Where the Twinkies? It was nothing. I mean, it was nothing. We had to pray to put something in that refrigerator. It was nothing but air. Air. I was like, good God. So I heard, overhear my aunt and saying that, you know, she's going through a little hard time. I said, more than a hard time. I was like, we got nothing to eat. And so the Holy Spirit moved in the room again. The same thing. I had to cut off the TV, 6 hours of prayer. But in the middle of this prayer session, my grandmother opens her eyes and says, go get the big crab pot out. I looked at her. I had enough sense to obey her because I remember times past, she was the one that gave me whoopings. And it wasn't from a belt. She's from the South. This was from switches. Somebody said, "Switch." So I went and got that big old pot. And she said, "Put some water in it." And she had this old stove. And it was gas. And it didn't come on by itself. So she kept all these Virginia Heralds and newspapers. I had to light it up. And when it flickered, I had to pick up the stove thing, the top. And it go tick, 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 poof. And it go woof like that. You know, Chaplin had hair back then, you know. And so I had a little afro and everything else. I had to make sure that I didn't want that thing to catch on fire. Boom, like that. It caught on fire. It lit up. Had a big old pot there, and the water's just boiling. And I came back out. She said, "Did you put the pot on?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." I said, "The water's boiling?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." And I looked at her, and she looked at me. I said, "I know you're wondering why I told you this." She said, "While I was in prayer," she said, "we're preparing for a meal." And I looked at her, and I walked into the kitchen. I said, "There's no food in the refrigerator or freezer." I came back out. She said, "But God." And she said, God is bringing some food to the house I'm preparing. I said, Grandmother, that don't make no sense. She said, a lot of things are not going to make sense to you right now. But watch what happens. And she said, this is going to stay with you for the rest of your life. I sat there. They were praying. Mother Mitchell, a bunch of people, everything else. And they were all from the local church right down the street, from a Church of God in Christ right down the street. And about an hour later, someone knocks on the door. And she says, Javon, go answer the door. Open the door up. The man said, I was at the store. And at this time, you know, it was Winn-Dixie around or store. And she said, I was at Winn-Dixie, and I was minding my business. And she said, the Holy Spirit told me to get these items for you and bring them by your house. We were in the house, y'all. But I tell you what, it looked like the potter's house in that house. Because I heard organs, tambourines, and everything else going up, and they were shouting for about 2 hours. I think they shouted more than the people in the Azusa Street movement. And they clapped everything else. And I looked at my grandmother, and my grandmother told me this. And she said, never let a life situation dictate to you how God is going to manifest in that situation. That saying has stayed with me for the longest because see, life every day, Sunday, we can be in here praising God and speaking in tongues, but tomorrow is Monday, and sometimes when we wake up, we're faced with life situations. Can I get an amen, somebody? I know this is a spirit-filled church, but you can say amen in this church. And so sometimes when we're faced with problems, we're faced with difficulties, we're often faced with challenges by the problems what we see. In other words, what I'm saying is that sometimes when we get off the floor from prayer or where we leave the altar and a prophetic word came, and we go through the doors of our house and we're faced with a situation, we often looked at the situation and not what God told us. And so sometimes when we're faced with that situation, we say, God, we go in that situation with fear instead of what God told us. And I watched my grandmother going through this transition of losing my grandfather. And she never skipped a beat on who God was or is in her life. She still praised God. She still prophesied. Still had the 6-hour prayers and everything else. And I look back in my life, even my life as a chaplain. I look back and I say, sometimes I've allowed situation dictate my praise. Hello, somebody. Because my praise was predicated upon what I saw instead of what God told me on my knees. And it went back to when I saw my grandmother would never allow a situation to stop her from praising God. And my brothers and sisters, in today's text, we see that Jesus just got finished ministering to thousands of people. And the interesting thing is they were building a large following, and immediately Jesus gets instruction to go to the other side of the lake. And the interesting thing about this text that Jesus gets the word at the time he was comfortable. He gets the word that the momentum was going. But the interesting thing about this word, if any of y'all ever been to seminary or studied the Bible, whatever else, that God the Father tells Jesus to go to the other side, and the other side is where the Gentiles lived or were. He also tells, God the Father tells Jesus, his son, to go to the other side at the time and the hour where there were furious squalls or storms. It's interesting sometimes that God will tell us to do things that goes that will go against what we believe doctrinally or socially, but not necessarily biblically. Hello, somebody. There's a difference. There's a difference. There's a difference. Here it is. Here it is. God is telling Jesus, the son, to go to the other side. He didn't know on the other side there was a man called the demoniac man, but who was a Gentile, but he told Jesus to go to the other side. Now, here it is. He's built this large following already, and now you want me to pick up and go to the other side. That sounds like God to me, because in my life, God has told me to do some things that didn't make no sense. You know, and at the time, it didn't make no sense. I'll wrestle with it, and I'll listen to the word, but he tells me to do those things. Pastor Eric's heard the testimony. Even in Bible study, I used the in the South, they got these stores called Publix. And every time I went to Publix, I have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Publix was my place where me and a person met God, and God was trying to extend my faith or give some prophetic word to somebody. And I said, God, I get tired of going to Publix, because it was a place of obedience and sacrifice. Well, this one particular time I went to Publix, and I told my wife about it, and here it is, the Lord, I'm walking into Publix, right? I got the cart. And I like Publix. Publix remind me of Whole Foods, you know. I'm shopping in there, and they got the music going like this and everything else. And I'm picking up my items. And I hear the Holy Spirit say, oh, you're going to pay for that lady's groceries. I said, what? Oh, hey, Shata, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. I'm going to pay for this lady's groceries. No, I didn't hear that. And I go down the next aisle, the produce and everything else. And then all of a sudden, when I'm ready to check out, the lady is in front of me, and she's digging through her bag, and the Holy Ghost said to me, what are you going to do? I told you're going to pay for the lady's groceries. And I said, God, I'm sweating now. You know, I'm bald, so you can see the sweat and everything. I said, okay, God. And I paid for the groceries, and right then and there, in that moment of obedience, even though I was struggling, God came down, and we had church right then and there. And the cashier joined in, and we had church right then and there. Church at Publix. And sometimes God comes in and speaks to us, and he goes against what we believe. See, we look for situations where we say, God, it has to be in the church, or it has to be over here. But God said, no, I want it over here, and you're going to give your last. I had all what my grandmother used to say, my little pocket money. That's what she used to call it. All my money in my pocket right here. And now you want me to pay for this lady's groceries. God, what are you saying, God? And this was the context that Jesus was in. He's saying, you want me to go over here, and there are Gentiles over here. How many times, you don't need to raise your hand, because our chaplain ain't going to rebuke you. But how many times we've been in situations driving down the street, and the Holy Spirit says, go and minister to that person. Go and touch that person. Go and give money to that person. And we start immediately coming up. I call it the seminary rush wrestle. We come up with so many ideas. Oh, I can't do that right here. I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't do that. But it's those moments that God begins to wrestle with, not wrestle, he begins to say, I want to stretch your faith. I want to stretch your faith so God can move in your life. See, we wait for some type of Joel Osteen or T.D. Jakes to lay hands on us, but it's those moments like that that God's saying, if I can trust you in these moments, then I can trust you anywhere else. And there's those Publix moments, those Winn-Dixie moments, those Fry's moments, whatever store it is, it's those little moments and saying, can I use you right here? And this is the context that Jesus is in. Here it is, I'm building a large church, God, 3,000, 4,000 people. Now you want me to get in this little dinghy, this little boat, that's known for squalls, this lake, and go across and be around some people that don't look like me or act like me. You, don't you know, God, that's the hood on the other side? And don't you know that I don't associate with people in the hood? But you know, don't you know I'm bougie and I don't associate with those people? But now you want me to go over there? I know I'm not hearing God. But Jesus had enough sense to get in the boat and go. And the interesting thing, my brothers and sisters, when he got into the boat, as we go along in the text, the disciples didn't get the same word that Jesus got. Hello, somebody. But this text gives us 3 points today, and I'm going to do these 3 points, and I'm about to sit down. The first point is you have to stay in a posture of prayer. Jesus, even though he was building this large gathering, he was building this large following, he stayed in the posture of prayer. What I mean by posture of prayer is that he still had enough sense to hear God, even though there was a good work going on here. How many times we've been someplace, we say, okay, God sent me here, but then all of a sudden we hear something in this ear, but we're so in tune to what's going on over here. See, God, you can be doing a great work over here, but God can all automatically just say, now shift and move over here. And so are we in the posture of prayer? Are we staying postured in prayer? And are we staying on our knees long enough that we can hear God even though it doesn't make sense? Staying postured, my brothers and sisters, is keeping your ear to the ground so you can continually to hear God. And when we look at this text, Jesus wasn't attached to the thing that God told him to build, but he was attached to being obedient to the Holy Spirit. That's being postured. But not only do we need to be, we need to stay postured, we have to be willing to go when the Holy Spirit tells us to go. See, listening is one thing, but going is another thing. Come on, Pastor. Because we can hear all day long, but the hardest part is going. And how many times that we've heard something, but we were stuck in our tracks because of fear or it don't make sense or whatever it is, but we didn't go. See, the hardest thing in transition is, the hardest part in transition is going. Many times people just say, transition ain't hard. The hardest part is going, because people have fear of the unknown. But I got news for you. We don't have to worry about the unknown. We got something called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will walk with us. He'll be with us. He'll talk with us. Hello, somebody. The Holy Spirit, when you don't know something, you're not comfortable about something, the Holy Spirit is right there with you. And see, you got to understand that when God leads you, when God tells you, he's saying, I want you to go. He's not sending you out there to die, but he's stretching your faith and he's putting you someplace else so you can grow. So point number two, you have to be willing to go where the Holy Spirit tells you to go. It's interesting, all of us as church people, sometimes we got to have everything laid out before we go. There's something in the army we call op order, the operations order. We want it laid out, detail, from the beginning to the end. We want that thing laid out. Chaplain, this is your annex right here. You're going to provide the religious support to the 5 areas and everything else. S4, this is your annex, everything else. You want it laid out. But I learned in God, as I learned this operational model in the Army, it don't work like that in the Holy Spirit. So, the Holy Spirit said, I don't work in op orders. For some of our civilians, operational orders. Some of, the Holy Spirit told me, this is the way I work. I tell you to go, you go. And when I tell you to go, sometimes he'll tell, commanders don't like this. He said, the Holy Spirit will tell you, I'll tell you things along the way. And so commanders, they want things laid out. Are we going to have sustainment? Are we going to have food? Are we going to have water when we get on ground? Chaplain, how many chaplains will we have on ground? Will we have religious support? What's the low-density faith groups, the Catholics, the Muslims, everything else? But the Holy Spirit said, I'll take care of that. You just need to go. But us in the army that have been trained, we're like, that ain't going to work. And see, understand this, that God will call us and he will tell us to go places and you just got to step out in faith and go. What's the Nike slogan? What's the Nike slogan? Say that again. Just do it. Sometimes we just need to go out and just do it. When God puts something in your spirit, just like he told Jesus, the Bible says he got in the boat as he was, meaning his clothes, his sweaty clothes, wherever his attire was, and he went. Just do it. Touch your neighbor and say, just do it. So not only we have to be willing to go when the Holy Spirit tells us to go, but we have to be willing to trust God even if it don't make sense. And that's my last point, my brothers and sisters, that you've got to be able to trust God in this transitional season. And I'm speaking to some people when I was on my knees praying for Shiloh. There's some people listening to me right now that you've said, God, I've been praying for a healing. I've been praying for a healing. You're in that midst of transition right now. You're saying, God, I believe you. I believe you. I believe you for a healing. But then you pick up, you start looking at your eyes and say, well, I guess it ain't going to happen. I'm believing God for a house. I'm believing God for a mate. I'm believing God for something. But what happens is that you don't trust, because the moment that you start looking at your eyes, you haven't seen nothing change. And so you start walking in the flesh instead of the prophetic word that God has given you. But I stopped by here to let you know that the winds and shift have reached Shiloh, and there's a transition that's taking place. But you got to believe what God has given you and not what your eyes are saying. See, what I'm saying to you all is, many of us have been moved by our eyes. Our eyes are told us this is what's going to happen. Our eyes are told us, I guess I'm not going to get healed. Doctors have whispered in our ears and said, I'm not going to get healed. You're not going to get a house. You're not going to get the job. But the moment we get on our knees like this, Pastor Eric and Pastor Joseph, the Holy Spirit starts to labor with us. And then he starts to tell us that I told you it's coming. I told you it's coming. I told you it's coming. And sometimes it don't come the time you want it to come. And you got to labor and pray over that thing. You got to give birth to that thing. See, in transition, you got to war and you got to pray. You might have to walk your house. You might have to walk the job. You might have to cut off some people. Because, see, you cut off some people, you won't have those influences. Transition is crucial. Understand this, that when you begin to transition, just like Jesus did, here it is, the disciples were in the boat and they're scared. But God told Jesus to say, go to the other side. That meaning that you're going to make it to the other side. But the disciples didn't hear that. Sometimes in seasons of transition, you got to cut off some family members and some friends. I'm talking about those jackleg family members that always got their hands out for some money and everything else, because they're going to hinder where you're trying to go. Because every time you're taking two steps forward, they're saying, how you doing that? How you doing that? How you doing that? And they want to question everything. And see, sometimes when you're in the middle of the lake, you don't have all the answers. And so you start to doubt yourself. When you're in the boat in the middle of the lake and you're rowing like this, and people say, how are you doing this? How are you doing this? And you're like, I don't know. And sometimes you might turn that boat around and go back. What I'm saying, my brothers and sisters, is you might have to cut some people off or not call them during this season. You might have to guard your baby. See, all of us have a baby. We're getting this transition. We get ready to get birth to some new things that God is establishing in this hour. And so if you're trying to finish your college degree and your family members are saying, no, you'll never graduate, you need to cut those people off. The other thing that what I realized in this text, Pastor Eric, was that Jesus, he had a good memory, but you have to remind yourself of what God said so that when the enemy brings something, you can just speak it out of your mouth and say, this is what the Lord said. Come on, somebody. Because see, when those storms come, you can remind the enemy of what God said, and you won't fall prey to what your eyes are trying to say. Here it is. Jesus was not worried. I'm from Miami, y'all. I'm not from Sierra Vista. I'm not whatever. And I grew up around the water. And I looked at this text, and I said, and there's no water here, by the way. You know, we might have Patagonia Lake, but I'm talking about ocean. And when I looked at the text and looked at it historically, from a historical aspect, I saw, here it is, this boat, and Jesus was sleeping in the boat. I've been in many boats, scuba dive, diving, spearfishing, everything else. From a natural standpoint, there is no way Jesus could have been sleeping in the boat with 4 feet waves. 4 foot waves. There is no way. But from the call of God that's on my life, I know Jesus can do it. And so what that told me is that if God has told us something and we believe it and we're starting to walk in it, whatever comes our way, we won't be affected by it. Jesus was asleep in the boat. The text says that the disciples had to wake him up. Master, Master, King James Version, do you not care that we perish? How are you asleep in the boat, Jesus? How are you asleep in the boat? In the boat rocking like this. If you ain't been on the water like this, even a little whatever caused seasickness and everything else. But Jesus was asleep. That's a prophetic word for us today, that no matter what is coming our way, if God has told us to go to the other side, I'm talking about the other side, the promise, the prophetic word, we don't need to worry about what's in the middle. We don't need to worry about the storm. All we need to worry about is reaching the other side. So I wish I had some people here. Whatever you're facing right now, whatever's going on in your life, whatever storm is wreaking havoc in your life, don't worry about the storm. Worry about reaching the other side. God had told me you will reach the other side. Jesus didn't worry about the storm. He worried about reaching the other side. He was so peaceful. He said, I'm going to get on this postopedic bed right here. I'm going to sleep in the boat. The disciples were running around. Master, Master, what's going on? Master, Master, what's going on? I'm telling you right now, do a paradigm shift. Change your mind from the disciples to Jesus. And in the midst of the storm, change it. What do you see? I don't see the storm, but I see Chaplain Seaborn after retirement doing bigger and greater things. I don't see the obstacles of not having money, but I see I see me having money. Change your mindset, because God said you're going to reach the other side. So don't worry about where you're at right now. Worry about where you're going to be at. You got to change your mindset. Go back and write it down, what the prophetic word, what God told you, and start to pray it over your life. Start to speak it out of your mouth every day. Because where you are right now in the middle of the lake might be because of your mindset. Hello, somebody. And I'm done. Some of us are in the middle of the lake and haven't reached the other side because of our mindset. Because we're saying, God, this is never going to happen. You're never going to heal me. I'm never going to finish school. I'm never going to get married. I'm never going to get a house. And so, you know what happens when you're in a boat? A boat that has two rows. I'm talking about four, two people, but they're rowing, and if they row against you, you're going like this. You're going like this. You're going like this. And sometimes that's what we're doing right now. We're going against God. And God is saying, all I want you to do is believe what I have told you or what I've spoken over your life. Believe my word. Don't be fearful of the storm that's raising havoc in your life. Don't worry about what things are going, if they don't seem by your natural eyes, don't seem right. Sometimes you got to believe and see yourself on the other side, even though you're in the middle of the lake. I might be there and water might be coming in the boat, but God, I said, I know I'm going to be on the other side one day. And that's the mentality that you got to have. That's where you got to see yourself today. No matter what, you got to believe that God is changing your mindset. And I'm done, I just want to, I don't know what I want to do. I believe God wants to pray. Everybody just stand to your feet. Is that okay, Pastor Eric, Pastor Joseph? And I just want to pray for some people. If you feel like you're in the storm right now, and you just say, the altar's open, I just want some prayer. This message, God's told me to preach this message because there are many of you all in transition. And I'm not talking about transition. I'm talking about you're in this place, and you've been in this place, and you're stagnated in this place. And you're saying, God, I'm trying to get here, but I'm not making it. Those are the people I want to not preach to, but pray for. But not only that, there's something I didn't cover in the message. It's one of the biggest things that causes us to not reach the other side over there. It's fear. Fear paralyzes us and stagnates us. And fear works against the prophetic word. Because when you get a prophetic word, immediately the enemy comes and whispers in your ear, say, you can't do that. And we stay right here. When God is saying, I'm elevating you in this season. I'm healing you in this season. I'm pushing you in this season. I'm pushing you to another level. Those are the people that I want to pray with, and all the pastors want to pray with you today. Because I heard in my spirit, there are many right now suffering from healing because they've been believing all these reports, believing everything else. But I know God told me there's going to be some healings today here through the word of knowledge. There's some things that are going to change. And Pastor Joseph, before I came here, the Lord showed me the wind that was blowing inside the church, not outside the church. And I woke up this morning and the wind was blowing. And he told me, he said, tell the people there's a wind of change coming. There's a shift blowing inside of Shiloh, not outside. And that I'm getting ready to move this church to another level. The Spirit of the Lord told me this, Pastor Joseph, Pastor Atticus, that the church has for the last 3 years has been in a like a stalemate. Like it's been growing little by little, but it hasn't been growing by leaps and bounds. The Lord said 2021 will be a different year for you all. I heard in my spirit there will be phenomenal growth in this church. Phenomenal growth in this church. Phenomenal growth in this church. phenomenal growth in this church where you would even go to two services. I heard in my spirit the Lord is bringing a shift in this church, and the wind will change. There's going to be, as the Spirit of the Lord said earlier, a sound's going to be echoed out in this church, from this church out. The Lord said, the people that are coming to this church, hear what I'm saying. This is the Spirit of God. This building won't be able to contain what God is getting ready to do. I see what the Spirit of the Lord is. A ministry training center where this will be a college, and you're going to train people for the fivefold ministry gifts. And this place will be a place of healing and restoration. The Spirit of the Lord, hear what I'm saying, people of God. God is getting ready to shift, and you're in a Kairos moment right now. And God is getting ready to do and bust open. But he's saying that I want the people and the leadership to come together and start to pray for this new change. I heard in my spirit, Pastor. I heard that this has been bubbling in my spirit all week. About the expansion. And many of you all are saying, God, this building's not that old, and you want us to go to another building. The Spirit of the Lord said, go to the other side. The authenticity and the anointing in this place is going to bring restoration to Sierra Vista. Many have cried, Pastor, about the revival in Sierra Vista and everything else. But the Spirit of the Lord, I heard this clearly in my spirit, Pastor. Revival will start from within this church, and it will go out to Sierra Vista. Because the Lord said, I trusted you all with my anointing. I heard that clearly, Pastor. I heard that clearly. Let's pray. If I got any prayer warriors, you can come up here. But let's just start praying for these people.
To the Holy Spirit, say,
this is the air I breathe.
Your holy presence,
your holy presence, living in me.
This is my daily bread.
This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread.
I need your very word.
Your very word
spoken to me.
Spoken to me. And I. perfect for you.
Your prayer.
This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me.
Come on, lift up your hands
and sing.
For you,
I'm desperate for you. I'm desperate without you.
I need you more each day,
God.
I'm so hungry for you. Na, na, na.
I'm desperate for you.
Spirit still doing a work today. Come on, continue to persevere in God's presence for these. Just love Him. If you need to slip out, you can slip out as quietly as you can, very respectfully. You can be dismissed. But for those of you that still want to stick around in God's presence, let's just persevere. Come on.
Oh God, I'm desperate for you. Desperate for you, and I'm lost without you. And
for you. I will trust and obey you, even when it don't make sense. Even when it doesn't make sense, God, I will seek and obey you, God. Thank you.
of the sweetest of loves. When my heart becomes free and my shame is undone, your presence.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome.